This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending?
At Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas, apply today at bakeru.edu. Number one, of course, is opening day 2025. We're broadcasting live outside Gate D here at Kauffman Stadium, getting closer and closer to first pitch. Good news for those that were wondering, which was most Royals fans, if not all, would Vinny Pasquantino be in the lineup today? The answer is yes. He will DH. We just talked to J.J. Piccolo. It sounds like
that's probably going to be for a couple of days.
Could be the case for a little bit. They're going to be cautious. Thought he looked great and everything, but they are going to be very cautious with that. There is 162 games to be played. But the great news, Vinny will be in the lineup today for the Kansas City Royals as Cole Reagans takes the bump. Reminder, Vern's on deck show coming up at 2 o'clock right after us.
Probably the biggest surprise is that Kevin Biggio is getting the start at first, but not that surprising once you realize they'll probably rotate a few people in for there, like Freddie Fermin might catch on Saturday or Sunday. We'll see how that plays out the rest of the time. Who's not in the lineup is next on What's Trending. Tanner Bibee, the starter for today's Cleveland Guardians, or scheduled starter, I would say, for today's Cleveland Guardians. He's been ruled out due to food poisoning. I don't know who you in Kansas City poisoned the man, but Tanner Bibee will not start. Ben Lively, former Royal of all things, will make the start for the Guardians. They had a really nice year for Cleveland last year. He'll make the quick start for Cleveland instead of Tanner Bibee, who got scratched today for food poisoning.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, were they eating? Did he eat by himself last night? Did he order a different dish?
Did he get a riskier one? He go get some sushi?
Yeah, did the team not eat? You know, they don't always eat together. Baseball, they can go out to different restaurants or whatever. Who knows? Bad luck or whatever. Obviously sucks for him, but he will maybe pitch later on in this series. Remember, tomorrow's an off day, and then Saturday and Sunday, the Guardians will continue their series against the Royals. So
he's going to hope it's not a Mookie Betts thing. Like, the weird thing with him is, like, Mookie, he's still, like, he just keeps losing weight, and he says he feels
now,
like
that was internet. He was in a crazy different, that he was in a different country, and who knows what the heck was going on there, obviously. But, Blake Lively.
Or Ben Lively.
Blake Lively.
If she pitched today, I like the Royals' chance.
Ben Lively.
Minus 10 million.
Yeah, Blake Lively
Blake
would
Lively's
be something.
Step, I mean, out on the rubber.
Blake Lively coming out today would be something. Ben Lively.
Taylor came to watch a Royals game, you know?
Yeah.
Blake could come along.
Although, I don't think they're friends anymore, isn't that right?
There was a falling out for an Oscars thing, you know? I don't know if a full falling out.
Yeah, I thought that was.
Some kind of.
I thought that was the case. Next on What's Trending, the Toronto Blue Jays have reportedly made another push to make Vlad Guerrero Jr., a longtime member of the Toronto Blue Jays. Remember, he said he's not going to negotiate a contract during the season, so they made an offer reportedly right before opening day. Doesn't sound like that's going to lead to a deal, but that was of a note. Remember, Vlad Guerrero Jr., contract year, he saw what Juan Soto just got from the Mets. He's thinking big, big payday. I think Vladdy Jr., you talk about contract year being undefeated kind of stuff, he's going to have a massive season for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he is already a very, very, very good player anyway. One of the best players in baseball. But, yeah, in addition to that, he has all the money in the world possibly coming his way. So, yeah, I can't say that I can't say that that would surprise me if he just goes ahead and waits for free agency. If I was that close and I was that big of a baseball player, nah, too late. Should have signed me 3 years ago. I'm seeing free agency now. Sorry, Toronto.
Well, they just paid Anthony Santander a lot of money, and that's a player that we know the Royals were in on. That is what's trending, by the way, here on Cody and Gold.
Would have been bad. I almost asked JJ. I thought about it, and then I pulled back. I was more professional. Said, hey, I know you guys were interested in outfielders. If the name ended in Entendre, just nod your head in agreement. If that's the guy you were close on, just go. I'm like 99% sure that the guy that they were close on was Anthony Santander. But if you look at the years, as Sherman, I think, pointed out, it was the years. It's not just the per-year cost. It's
Santander. Toronto had an additional year.
They put on an additional year. They wanted some more security in case they don't get Vlad Guerrero Jr. back next year. And the Royals decided to go a different way of team building. Their bullpen would have been riskier. Urseg would have been the closer, and everyone else would have moved up instead of Estevez. And that's what they got instead of Santander. Will I follow Santander this year if he's hitting 45 home runs? Yeah, I will, because I'm curious if that could have been in their lineup. But, yeah, I mean, I understand how they ended up in the decision they did.
Coming up at 12:30, Brian Kinney of MLB Network is going to join us. We'll talk to him about the Royals, obviously, but bigger picture with baseball as well, some of the things going on around the league, and, of course, this division, plus our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, will join us at 1 o'clock. If you missed our conversations with J.J. Bacolo or John Sherman, of course, those will be on the podcast page and up on
Cole
the
Reagans.
Odyssey apps. Cole Reagans, yeah, we might play some of that again in the 1 o'clock hour. But, yeah, Cole Reagans, today's opening day starter, joined us yesterday. We came down here for workout day, and we caught up with today's opening day starter. But I do want to talk about players that we said are swing players, but also, okay, who are you worried about regressing? Because we can say, hey, there's a chance for a big positive swing for numerous guys on this roster. We can all name those players, starting with MJ as a big swing player. What about on the opposite end? I'll be honest, I include injury in this too. You know, like that can be part of a regression angle. Starting pitching, you know, is there regression there? For me, the question was last year as well, and he proved me very wrong, and that is, at one point, does Father Time catch up to Salvador Perez? There is no sign of it happening. Nothing from spring training. Last year, he was coming off one of his best seasons, Silver Slugger Award. We know he wants to keep playing baseball. He's going to be behind the dish today. He was so vital for this team last year, was once again an all-star. Like all that happened. That is always going to be a concern, probably every year the rest of his career. Like if he goes out and has another all-star year this year, I'll probably say the same thing next year on opening day. That would be the player I would be most concerned about, because he was one of the three guys that basically had 100 RBI last year. And if he has any bit of regression, if Father Time at all catches up, well, then who else is stepping up in the offense? Because that's a big bat they've counted on.
Yeah, I mean, I do understand that. I'm not saying that he's not in the category until, because Father Time is, and I disagree, Father Time is not undefeated. Tom Brady beat it, and as far as I can tell, LeBron James is beating it. He might have to beat Stephen A's ass in the interim.
Let's get to that later. By the way, that is so embarrassing for everybody involved.
Oh, for so every single person involved, but still hilarious. Father Time hasn't beaten everybody down. Like, for instance, Yadier Molina maintain being a very good baseball player all the way until the end. And so I do think that there's a good possibility that Salvador Perez will maintain being a really good baseball player. Worse than last year? Yeah, probably. But like they can have an ebb and a flow of a baseball player. That's not a huge deal.
Well, I'm not saying he has to have the exact same year. No. I'm just worried about event. One of the years it will happen. And you're just like this year, if it doesn't happen, then, you know, just gives him some more outs on offensive issues. If he were to slide back considerably, and I don't think he's going to, but he's on the list of potential guys.
Yeah, he is.
Then who elevates their game?
My answer is Waka. That's who I'm scared of.
Okay.
Because the strength in this team, the true strength in the way that they win, is the fact that they are one of the best rotations in baseball. And so the way Waka pitched last year was the most professional, solid, day in, day out, three guy you could even possibly dream of. Shows up every day. Pitches every five days. Gets you like a 3.5-4 earned run average in every game. Never blows it. Doesn't walk a bunch of guys. Leaves you in no trouble. And it's like, Reagans, I just feel like he's the goods. I'm not worried about regression with him. If he's healthy, he's great.
Yep.
Lugo, I get it. That's the common regression one people bring up in the bullpen or in the rotation. But I think Major League Baseball has shifted multiple. There are 5 or 10 right now starters in Major League Baseball who are doing a good job as starters in Major League Baseball that were relievers like 6 months ago, 2 years ago. So, like, I just feel like baseball's gone back to that and it's working and turning guys back around. Waka's older than, not old, not old.
No, I got you.
He's older. Yeah. He's had up and down years. And I think that they need that kind of depth because Boobs has got a pitch limit. Lorenzen's an okay five, you know, no problem. But, like, the other guys are all complete unknowns. Not that they don't have depth, but that if Waka's not a solid three, Singer could have been a solid three last year if Waka wasn't, and was, essentially. I don't feel like they got that safety net anymore. I feel like that's the guy that scares me regression-wise.
Yeah, right. I mean, that at some point, you're going to have some other pieces, whether it's in the minors or whether they're starting the season on the IL, that might have to factor into the pitching element. I guess, for me, it's not about falling. I'm not worried about those guys falling off. I think there's a chance Lugo just doesn't have as good of a season. But, like, truly, the fall-off, I think there's only one or two guys that I would be all that worried about truly having a major fallback from where they were.
I just don't see it with Bobby and Vinny at all. You know, like, I wouldn't even put them on my list as potentials.
No, but as we were discussing with the entire offense, you know, relying on just three guys to carry everybody, that's probably not sustainable another season. So that's where we get back into the India conversation. Get on base. Can he be a big part of that? Can you have, like, J.J. McCullough specifically mentioned Hunter Renfroe. They don't need 25 home runs for him, but can he get back to closer to his baseball card, the back of his baseball card? Can he get to 21?
Him 20, and Massey, essentially, I want to be the same hitter. Yeah. Be a 315, 320 on base guy. Hit me 20 home runs. Be enough of a force that they're not going to just completely work around Salvador Perez and throw him junk to get to you. Because the lineup can go six deep if those guys are what you said, back of the baseball card. 20 home run guys, 260 average guys or 250 average guys, 310 on base, 315 on base. Consistent guys, kind of what they've been when they're healthy in their major league career. Then 7, 8, 9, I'll worry about that. I'll worry about that later. I'll worry about it later when I get to the Melendezes of the world and the Kyle Isbells, or in today's case, Kevin Biggio or Mikel Garcia or anyone else. Fine. Whatever. I'll deal with that later. Last year, they really were an offense run by three guys, and they were a mediocre offense. They were a league average offense last year. As LaFever pointed out, they were sixth in runs per game. Like, they were, and I think overall they were more league average. They were a league average offense last year with pretty much three guys being contributors and nobody else helping until Tommy Pham showed up for a month and hit. Like any offense that has Yuli Gurriel and his 40-year-old hamstring rolling in.
And that was very late
in
the year.
Sure. But, like, they didn't have somebody else to step up when Vinny went down. They had to sign the 40-year-old. I mean, that does speak to where they were. So, yeah, I would say that the starting pitching's the fear. That's the one where I just need it to be good. I need it to, you know what it is? Just stay healthy. Just stay healthy starting rotation. That's all I'm asking for.
Unfortunately, the chances of that happening are fairly low, of going back-to-back seasons, of having starting pitching health the way they did. But that's why we've discussed the bullpen in particular. Can the bullpen cover for some of that? Do you feel like you have more trust in that? And I think heading into the season, I don't know how you don't feel good about it. Will they end up being a top five bullpen or a top three bullpen in the American League? We'll find out. I don't think it's crazy to think that they can't be that, though, and that's what's exciting about it this year, to where you're not maybe having as much pressure on the rotation that have to go out and give you those real, real quality start after start after start. Yeah, you need it from certain guys, but if you tell me that your number five starter, Michael Lorenzen, is only on average going to give them five innings in an outing and give up, you know, let's call it four runs, so a four-year, you know, I mean, like, if that's what it's going to be, well, the bullpen this year has the depth and the arms to get it done.
Yeah,
based off of what
they can rely on them
more
to cover.
We saw at the end of last year with Urseg, you know what you're getting. Hunter Harvey, I'm still convinced, while he's a wild card, I'm still convinced that so much of his lack of success last year, he barely pitched with the Royals because he was hurt. He was overused. Now, I know he didn't have a great spring. People will say, hey, well, let's find out when it actually happens. But he was, at the time, a piece that everybody was excited about when they traded for and thought he was going to kind of be the difference maker. It ended up being Lucas Urseg after the fact. But I believe Harvey was the first trade they made.
And I really like the potential for Zerpa. Look, maybe I'll get punished.
They love him.
Maybe I'll get punished on this. Every single person in the organization is gushing about it. I mean, look, I'll be honest. When you watch him pitch, I get it. Mm-hmm. The way he pitched in the postseason, the way he's pitching now, it does look like the kind of guy who all of a sudden might take a leap in domination in Angel Zerpa. And he's got no pressure on him, too. Before, like, all right, Zerpa, we need you today. Oh, no big deal. We got to Urseg first. We got to Estevez first. We got to Hunter Harvey first. Now we need you, Angel. We need you in the fifth, sixth inning. They did a good job in the postseason. The bullpen arms that they're relying on now, those guys did a really good job in the postseason of fireman role. Hey, there's 2-1 and 2 out, and there's 3 men on, and Zerpa, I don't know what to tell you, but we need an out here.
He was the guy for Soto.
We're up 3-2, and we need an out right now. Can you get us an out? And Zerpa did. I mean, he came through in those spots.
They do.
Something I wasn't necessarily anticipating going into the year. And so all of that's why, like you and I earlier, and we'll take your predictions on the text line, 913-586-7965. We'll take them on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook. We live stream the show all 4 hours every day. That's why we ended up doing our predictions. Sorry, it seemed like
pressing or whatever. I was just thinking we're going to have Brian Kenny join us here in about 9 minutes or so. We did our season-long discussion about bets. Do you have a bet in play today? Opening day, we looked at this because of the pitching change. The Royals are even more favorites, bigger favorites, I should say, than they were.
So we got better odds on it earlier.
It keeps going up. They're up to minus 166. It was minus 130 early. Then the pitching change. For those that are joining us, Spivey's not pitching. Lively's pitching now due to food poisoning. And now the Royals are minus 166. If you're on our social media, I believe a video was out earlier we recorded. I have the Royals to win, parlayed with Cole Reagan's alternative strikeouts. All that means is instead of the normal strikeout numbers like 5.5 or 6.5, we take it up to that 7.5. So need 7 or more, actually, not 7.5. The two together plus 238. That's my bet today. And then maybe a little sprinkle on a home run bet. The only bet that has actually placed those Royals win.
I do think we choose. I'll figure out, like, we're on the Missouri side, so I can make an underdog entry. But
Drew's in Kansas still.
So maybe have Drew. I could Venmo him the money. I think we did terrible. Betting show money on the NCAA tournament. Let's just be honest.
Uh-huh.
It went horrible, fellas.
It was bad.
Let's just choose
just do a home
one.
Run.
Let's do one guy today, Drew. If I Venmo you the money.
Hit the first home run or hit a home run?
Let's do one guy today to hit a home run.
Okay, here we go.
And
on FanDuel, Renfro 6-1, Bobby's 4.5-1, Salvi's 5-1.
What about MJ on the swing fixes? You guys want to get wild?
Oh, no, see, here's
MJ
my word.
MJ on the swing fix?
So here's why I don't like it. I actually think his swing fix, we just went over the stat. He, to me, if you want him to be better this year, it's that he's not trying to hit home runs,
yeah,
that he's just trying to drive and run.
All right.
I don't know if we like that one. I mean, there's
Massey. I'm getting better odds on Massey than I am. I think he's a 25 home run guy.
Vinny's DHing today.
Vinny's DHing. What are his odds?
Plus 630.
Oh, what do you guys think? Massey, Vinny. I want to go down the list.
I like Hunter Renfro at 6-1.
6-1, Hunter Renfro.
Yeah.
What if we placed two smaller bets?
Right,
you get Renfro. I get Massey.
Okay.
Like half a unit each.
Okay.
We'll come out ahead no matter what if either guy hits it, and if they both hit home runs, then we'll feel good. Drew, I'm going to Venmo you some money. Can you place some bets for us?
You want me to place two bets, one of them on Renfro Homer
two
and
bets.
One of them on Vinny's Homer.
I'm going to send you
don't
money.
Don't parlay them.
Don't parlay them.
That'd be
two
crazy.
Individuals.
Just split the money I sent you in half.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then put one on Michael Massey to hit a home run and put one on Hunter Renfro.
Do you
hit
really
a home
want to put one on Melendez? Funny.
I'll do Massey.
I just worry that his swing change, actually, it's a good thing if you tell me he just has a double today versus, you know, like a long-term thing.
I told you yesterday, we had said, hey, let's do our bold prediction
uh-huh.
for the Royals. And I told you my bold prediction is that Michael Massey was going to hit 25 home runs for this team this year.
Mm-hmm.
If he's going to do that, he should be the guy that I back today to hit a home run. So, Drew, I sent you a little money.
Okay.
I'll need you to split that in half and just put half of it on Massey to hit a home run and half of it on Hunter Renfro to hit a home run. Maybe we'll hit both. Maybe we'll change all of our luck on the NCAA tournament where it went so horrible. We can talk more with Vern about our season.
Yeah, I mean, if you think Cole Reagan's throwing a no-hitter, guys, you know, you can bet on that today, too.
I got to say, out of the
$10 to win $3,000. Yeah.
Oh, man. $10 to win $3,000?
Game one, he's not throwing a no-hitter because even if he was pitching that well, don't you think they wouldn't let him go?
If he had no hitter, they'll let him keep pitching.
Not if he's had 100 pitches in the seventh inning.
It doesn't win if it's a combined no hitter, right?
No. Nope.
To Reagan's.
Some fun ones.
No.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Oh, it'd be amazing.
Gotta admit, that'd be pretty fun.
Up next, we're going to be joined by Brian Kenny of MLB Network. We'll talk to him about this 2025 Royal season and bigger picture. What does he make of this AL Central? That's coming up next here on Cody and Gold. All right, we're back here on Cody and Gold, continuing to broadcast live from Gate D at Kauffman Stadium as we inch closer and closer to first pitch, opening day 2025, and we're excited to head out to the hotline and welcome in Brian Kinney of MLB Network. MLB Now has returned to MLB Network, hosted by Brian, and it airs every weekday at 11 a.m. Central. Brian, it's great to have you on the show. When we think about kickoffs to sports, opening day, there's nothing close to this.
It is exciting, and I think, like, this year more than ever, yes, it's so wide open. There's so much parity, this vast middle class, and so many teams have a real shot at making the playoffs.
I will say we have a longstanding joke on this show about bunting in opening day. Are you a fan of the decorations around the stadium?
The bunting, you know, I like I like that level of bunting, yes. A big fan of that kind of bunting, yes.
I'm less of a fan of it from the actual baseball perspective. I only like it as a decoration. I'm pro hit the ball over the fence, you know?
Exactly. And look, I hated mindless bunting. I like bunting for a reason.
Uh-huh.
I like punishing the defense, making them play honest, all that. I'm a big fan of dead ball baseball. I just didn't like the mindless sacrifice and thinking that it was a good strategy.
Last year we saw this city come back alive for baseball and experience playoff baseball again for the first time since the World Series run in 2015. We think the Royals had maybe the best offseason of any AL Central team. What's your view on this Royals team trying to follow up what they were able to accomplish a year ago?
Yeah, I think, you know, small moves mean a lot. Also, you know, Royals get better as they get a year older. There's only a few teams that are like that. Tigers are also like that, though, so it's a very young team. I think it's wide open, but I think the pitching rotation that the Royals have developed has really become superior. You have about the best player in baseball as well. You still have a good offensive force at catcher. A lot of things still have to break well, but the Royals played a very good brand of baseball last year.
Do you think they're the best team in the AL Central, or do you view that as the Guardians who won it last year? You mentioned the Tigers, maybe?
It's so close. I think this the scratch pick is the Twins, actually. And I know we haven't, you know, really they haven't made a mark in the last few years. But if you go by just the overall horsepower, it's probably the Twins. I think the Tigers are very impressive late last year, and I think the Guardians might be taking a step back. I think losing Jimenez and losing Naylor will hurt them, but they still will probably have the best bullpen in the game, they'll still be decent. So it's wide open. If I had to make a pick, I don't even know what I would say. It probably wouldn't be the Guardians, but I'd be close between the Twins and the Royals.
We're talking to Brian Kinney of MLB Network. You mentioned to start this conversation just how wide open the league as a whole feels. We were saying the other day that it's a great thing to be on the AL side compared to the NL side, especially with the Dodgers right now. On the American League end, it feels like that is open for just about anybody as well, with some of the injuries that the Yankees are going to be dealing with to open up the season.
Well, I think there's a superpower, right? I say there's a vast middle class. There's that parity that baseball has been seeking for years, decades, that has been talked about, has finally been reached. But there's definitely a superpower. I think there's, you know, that the Dodgers are out ahead of everybody else. That next tier, I think, of the Braves and the Phillies. Those are elite teams. The Yankees would have been one of those elite teams, but now their injuries to Cole, to Luis Gil, that brings them back to that vast middle class. I know Fangraphs projections has, get this, 18 teams being between 81 and 88 wins.
Wow.
18. So it's insane. So, you again, how do you separate yourself? I think there's only three clubs that separate themselves. And, yes, the Dodgers are a juggernaut. They are the new super – not the new, but they are an ascending superpower this year.
I guess a lot of that is, like, I guess you play everyone in baseball anymore. We actually kind of view this, and I'm curious because, you know, you cover baseball for a living. You obviously love the sport like we do. With the Dodgers, if they keep winning at this rate – is that eventually going to force baseball to make some other things in place, like stopping deferred contracts or other things that they've been able to take advantage of? Because if one team dominates too much, even like the high-priced teams like the Yankees or the Mets or some of these other ones might start getting mad, not just the small ball teams like Kansas City.
Well, I don't know. There's a lot there. I would say I'm a fan of a super team. I like there being a focal point for the season. Also, the way the playoffs are structured, where you have to go through three tiers at least, even if you're a super team, the chances of you getting through are against you. So it's not fair. I don't like that part of it. I like the emotional investment of the full six-month season. But I have to admit, the first round of playoffs, wild card is extended now. Fans love it. It gets great ratings. People get excited. More people in more markets get excited about it. So I get it. And that's here to stay. So I think that's kind of an equalizer. And I don't know if having a super team is bad. I know what you're saying. I think it would be bad if you had one team with, say you have the Royals or the Cardinals, teams that are trying, that do have a decent payroll. They're about mid-range, 15th in payroll out of the 30 teams. If they're $200 or $300 million in payroll away from the number one team, that's not good. But I think other than that, I like the idea of a super team.
We're talking to Brian Kinney of MLB Network. One reason why I think fans enjoyed last season even more than just the record was knowing that one of the guys leading that team a year ago and obviously leading this team this year is actually under contract for a while. They're not worried about Bobby Witt Jr. leaving after another year or two. The fact that he is locked up has allowed fans here to appreciate him even more. Is this the season that he gets the MVP? Because a lot of people here were upset, of course, that he did not win it due to Aaron Judge also having a ridiculously good season.
Well, it's very possible. I think, you know, even last year between Witt, Gunnar Henderson, and Judge, you had, you know, three monsters, three guys who had a, you know, 9-win season. That could be in any given year an MVP. I think Witt has hit another level and could absolutely be the best player in baseball. I you know, now does he put it all together in the way he did? Is he making improvements? I see that he is. So, yeah, you're looking, and the fact that he is signed up again, and that, how does that contract look now? Where, like, it seemed like an enormous amount of money. Right, and now you're looking at, okay, now the new benchmark is $700 million. And so Juan Soto gets $700. Vlad Guerrero now is about to hit the market. He's saying, oh, you're offering me $400 or $500? Please. $700 is the new $300. So it's it's incredible. And so now, like, Witt's contract looks just tremendous. It was a great strike by the Royals.
A lot of times, small market teams, like when they pay that big price tag, like the Twins with Mao or whatever, it can backfire because it happens a little bit later in their career. I guess, like, I always pine for the Royals to turn into one of those small market teams, Brian, that consistently wins, turns over their roster sometimes, even more than you like, because they're in the playoffs every year. Do you kind of feel like the way they're doing it now is closer to the way the small market teams like the Guardians or the Twins or the Rays have done it over the years to be consistently successful?
Well, yeah, we'll have to see if that holds. I mean, you've got to do a lot of things right, and you've got to hit on a lot of trades. You have to draft and develop or be very good at something else, your international signings, in order to do that. But you're right. Look, the Rays were the early vanguard were the A's, right? The Moneyball A's. Then were the Rays. Now you kind of have the Rays, the Guardians, and the Brewers. The Brewers are about 22nd or 23rd in payroll. They put out a very good competitive team. So it is possible to do. I think we have to wait and see now if there is consistent winning from the Royals. That was a nice jump up to 86 wins. Can they get there again? Can they improve on that? And then they'll join that group. But there's certainly a leg up, because I said the first component is drafting and developing. If you get your superstar shortstop, that is the most difficult thing in the game to get, and they have it.
You've been able to witness so many Hall of Fame careers of baseball talent in your years covering the league. Salvador Perez, obviously beloved here in Kansas City. He's 35 this year. He's coming off one of his better seasons. He's got a club option after this year, and we've been trying to figure out, all right, how many more years is he going to play? Do you believe he is already put himself as a strong Hall of Fame candidate? Is he as a Hall of Famer, or does he have some work to do?
It's tough to say right now. I think we need to reevaluate, and we are in the next couple of years going to be reevaluating what a Hall of Fame catcher is. If you just looked at the normal way we judge these things, the way we have been judging these things, Yadier Molina falls short. Buster Posey will fall short. So I think that forces the voters and all of us to look at this differently, that, hey, you know, as a catcher, you might not need 60 war or 70 war, that catching is different and it's a different aspect of the game, and that you have to look at it differently, that, yes, Molina feels like a Hall of Famer, Posey feels like a Hall of Famer. So if that's the case, then how did Jorge Posada fall off the ballot under 5%? That, like, makes no sense. Perez is in a different category, but I think we'll reevaluate it you know, some sort of approximation of what Yadier Molina or Buster Posey was. Not exactly. He's his own different guy, but I think it calls for a fresh interpretation of what Hall of Fame catching is.
All right, Brian, we'll put you on the spot before we let you get out of here. Do you think the Royals make the playoffs?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Brian Kenny, MLB Network, great insight. Great to talk to you. Enjoy the start of the season.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Take care.
You got it. So that was Brian Kenny with us here on 96.5 The Fan. It's always good to kind of get an outside Kansas City perspective on what he's seeing in baseball, what he's seeing from Bobby Wood Jr. And then I wanted to ask about Salvi there, because that's still like one of those deals where we've talked over and over in terms of Hall of Fame Royals players in the future. Like, very rarely are you going to be able to see a player spend their whole career with a franchise like Kansas City in today's economics of baseball. And Salvi could be the last, you know, Hall of, not just Royals Hall of Famer, but we're talking about obviously baseball Hall of Famer.
I think I'm Bobby Wood Jr. now, so I got spends, some help. But whole career?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, Bobby obviously, but like, I don't know if Bobby's going to, you know, Bobby going to be here for 15 years. I mean, unfortunately, the chances of that are slim. Salvador Perez has a chance to do that. And I just wanted to ask Brian Kinney about where he's at. And he said, yeah, we do need to look at how we judge the catchers entering the Hall of Fame that are up for the ballot in the Hall of Fame a little bit differently than maybe we once did. And he referenced Yadier Molina as well. Now, Drew, you said you have an update. Did you place the show bets for today's game?
Yes, the show bets have been placed again. For as a reminder, it was a Hunter Renfroe homer. It was a Michael Massey homer. Two separate ones, not parlayed together. That would be crazy. But so I did get a boost.
That would have gotten us some pretty good odds.
So I got a boost for one of them.
All right.
What I did was I put the boost on Massey because Massey had the longer odds to hit the homer. So Renfroe was 10 to win 70, Massey 10 to win 98 with the boost.
Nice. We need a home run from one of them, really.
Let's get both.
One of them.
Let's both get both.
One of them would be great.
Yeah, either one would be fine. More than clear our action there. Okay. Sounds good, Drew. Thank you for placing those.
We can't use the weather as an excuse. Oh, it's early. It's cold. The ball's not going to fly. No. It's going to be at 4 o'clock today. It's going to be 80 degrees. You know, you got cloud cover as well. The ball, you know, should have an opportunity to fly out of the park. I know it's a big park and all that, but we can't use the, well, it's not going to hit home run today. It's 35 degrees outside. No. That's not an excuse today.
That's just definitively not. Yeah, that's not an issue
today.
We'll
talk to Vern
versus the rest of
about today, and of course also the pitching matchup. Now that Bybee is not pitching, we're going to have Vern join us about 15 minutes, our Royals insider, before his On Deck show, which of course is back at 2 o'clock, first time this year, coming up here on 96.5 The Fan.
How reassured were you the fact that, like, Vinny is able to play game one? Boy, what a feeling. I saw Q had said that he considered Salvi at first, but that fans who were here for opening day deserve to see Salvi behind the dish. They deserve to see Salvi catching, you know, for opening day fans. So Salvi might be at first on Saturday, might be at first on Sunday, which is okay. I think you maybe take a week of Vinny just straight DHing and finagle it that way until you're like, yeah, we're good. We're fine. The fact that he can play game one, though, gives me all the confidence that the training staff will find a way to make sure this isn't a long-term issue. If you heard J.J. Pecola earlier, he talked about the injury a little bit. He said he comped it to maybe the grade they had on Gurriel, and he made it sound like it was like a month. It was like a month of Gurriel, like babying, keeping him on the field, keeping an eye on it, being careful, being smart, making those decisions, and then getting him full bore by the time a month or so had ended. If that's how you do it with Vinny, cool. Baby him a little bit, give him more games at DH than maybe you were originally thinking for month one, but by the end of the month, he'll be fine. He'll feel, or by the end of April, feel good, feel fine, and you can go the rest of the season with Vinny Pasquantino in the middle of your order.
Yeah, there's no reason to have pushed it, but DH allows him to still keep, you need that bat in the lineup without worrying about re-aggravating an injury, especially something like a hamstring or anything like that. I pulled up some nerdy metrics while we were talking about the home runs. So today, 13-mile-per-hour wind at 4 o'clock. That's steady for the whole game. Guess what, though? It's blowing left center. Left center.
Nice.
Left center, south-southwest. Nice. That's what it says it's supposed to
do
today.
You're pulling up wind patterns at the K.
This is an analytical betting site that does for baseball game betting, and they break down the wind and the direction. And so you know if it's a good day to bet on home runs or not. And based off this, it is blowing out to left field. It's not blowing in. So we'll see if that holds. Let's get to the random question of the day.
Random question.
Do our best here. Random question of the day brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Results every week and then receive free support for life online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Very simple random question of the day today. After LeBron James spent an hour in studio with Pat McAfee yesterday, and then Stephen A. responded to some of those comments, and then LeBron hit the game winner in the game last night against the Pacers.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, hit the game winner against the Pacers last night. Very simple question. We made ours in the last fight that included a media member, chose sides. Are you Team LeBron or are you Team Stephen A.?
Yeah, so, one, the whole thing's embarrassing, for starters.
For everybody?
For both parties, but I'm Team LeBron on this one. At some point, like, Stephen A. saying he was going to swing at LeBron. Stop.
Dude,
the reason why I'm Team LeBron, and I know LeBron brought it back up yesterday because he was on the McAfee show, but Stephen A., like, you also, like, it goes back to when this first happened. When it first happened, LeBron, obviously, I thought actually was wrong because Stephen A. didn't say anything bad about Bronny, like, over, crossing a line, right? He said, you know, he was correct in Bronny, his son. And look, LeBron was acting as a father to back up his son. I understand. I didn't think Stephen A. did anything wrong then. But then the very next day, Stephen A. Smith was on First Take and making sure everybody knew about this story. Oh, I didn't want to talk about it, but everybody's talking about it.
I'm going to talk about
so
it. He
that's
went on like
what it,
19 different podcasts talking about it.
But I honestly, I don't care at all about this LeBron, Stephen A. I couldn't care less.
Okay, so if I have to choose sides, I'm Team LeBron, not Team Stephen A on this one, largely because they're like, you weren't throwing a punch. Now, you don't have to lie about it. Before, you did what I would call as normal entertainment-style journalism. You called it nepotism. You said it's ridiculous that Bronny was in the league. It got a little too personal, in fairness, but it's also not wild to make that comment at that time because that's what it was, right? At the time, that's what it was. But also, stop taking swings at guys.
Yeah.
LeBron, his whole thing is just back to a parent thing, which is a pretty easy stance to take. I am going to stand up for my kid. And also, I don't know if anyone's been paying attention. Bronny's actually been a little bit better.
Bronny scored
17 in a game the other day. He scored like 40 in a G League game.
Good for
he
him.
Might
no,
be
G League. Keyword. You said G League. That's
no,
where he
no,
should
but
be.
Yeah. I think what he is a fringe NBA guy right now. He probably is talented enough that at the end of an NBA roster wouldn't be crazy. And the way he's playing in the G League, where he's being at a level of dominance at times, he would be like an NBA guy. And if his name wasn't LeBron James, you wouldn't know about him. And he'd be player 12, and he'd be fine. But because they forced him in the league early, it all feels weird now. And like, but I thought Stephen A. got a little too personal with it. His biggest problem is that he went on 58,000 podcasts to be like, I'm in the right here on LeBron, and I didn't do anything to make him mad. And now he's saying he would have thrown a punch. Drew, which team are you on? So we're Team LeBron over here.
Yeah, I'm also Team LeBron. And it's interesting. Like,
or Team just like, I'm done with it. I don't know which one.
I think I'm a little bit there too, but I think it's
Team none of it.
It's just really weird. I mean, we got a Kendrick and Drake beef. We have a LeBron and Stephen A. beef all within a calendar year. It's kind of nuts. But I think that it's interesting. LeBron, it's not just a Stephen A. thing. LeBron was calling everybody out yesterday. He was calling out the media for saying these guys act like we're friends when I don't want anything to do with you. It's weird the way that the media covers. I mean, he was going after everybody. It wasn't just Stephen A. When he was on with Pat. So very, very interesting to hear some of the comments.
He pretty much just said nobody knows ball. Like his whole thing yesterday was, we got a lot of stupid takes out there because nobody knows ball. Nobody knows basketball like me, you know?
I mean, there's some truth to that. There is some truth to that.
I mean, he said that the reason why he's been able to play at 40 is not because he's a freak athlete, like some of it, but the reason why he's still able to play is because he knows basketball, which I actually do.
Well, no kidding. Yeah, obviously
believe that,
he does.
Like he knows it as well as he does. I actually do believe that that's the case. I just think you don't have to take the whole media industry.
This whole back and forth, like, jumped the shark a long time ago. I just don't care. Like, Stephen A. is obviously extremely gifted and talented at what he does as well. The dude just signed a $100 million deal. Good for him. LeBron, obviously, we don't need to get into the MJ-LeBron debate, but he's, if not the greatest, the second greatest player of all time. Cool. I just don't care about this weird media beef. They're probably both just doing it for attention.
He brought up MJ yesterday, actually, too.
Well, MJ's lucky, dude, because he would have also hated the era of social media.
I think every athlete hates it. Every athlete hates the betting thing. I mean, you see athletes, whether it's high-profile guys or low-profile guys, it's like, man, I don't care about your parlay, man. You know, anybody on social media getting attacked, everybody is – there's more athletes. Athletes are all vocal about it. You know, it doesn't matter who
Someone
they are.
Someone says, all these millionaires Drew brought up with beefs, life must just stink, baby.
Honestly, maybe you're just bored, you know?
I'm just saying.
Bored. Stephen A. just signed a $100 million
contract. Just
because
you're rich doesn't mean you don't like people. You know what I mean? Like, everybody, you have somebody you don't really care for, right? There might be somebody you're just not a big fan of. whether you got money or don't have money, there's always somebody you're like, I just don't really like that person's personality or whatever.
We're pretty much no level of fame at all, and there's still people who send us hateful stuff and be like, I hate you. Actually, I got to say, I walked past this like grouping of girls over here.
Okay.
And so I walked past, and as I was going like towards the restroom, one of them in earshot said the like, oh, that I think that's one of the guys from 96.5. But I just kept walking.
How old were these
people? They look like they're in their 30s.
Okay.
I come back through this group of girls in their 30s, and she said, hold on, wait. And she stopped me, and she looked at my press credential and said, what's your name? And then she said, Cody. She said, I told him. She said, they did. She said, I did. She said, I said you were from Cody and something. I couldn't remember the other name.
Wow.
I was like, his name's gold.
Ouch.
His name's gold.
Humbling experience.
She said, Cody and something.
Ouch.
I was like, his name's pretty memorable.
Damn.
She said, you make sure that he knows that I thought you were more important. I was like, more important?
I'm glad they didn't walk over here.
Oh my gosh.
You don't need that kind of energy.
They can just stay over there, you know.
Miss me right over there. He's a miss me with that.
Basically.
I stood up for you. I want you to make it clear. I stood up for you.
I said you should know his name, too.
It's gold.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
We appreciate those of you texting in as well. 913-586-7965. Up next, we are joined by our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. He's got his on-deck show coming up at 2. He's ready to rock and roll. We got a lot to address with him about this season. See if he agrees with one of us on our boldest Royals take for the season. That's next here on 96.5 The Fan.